Mark here with the Law Club. How are you?
Okay, what's up?
Oh, just getting back to you. You sent me back a reply on an email today. You said call me after I sent you those documents that David was working on. So I don't know if you had comments on that or something else.
Yeah, basically, let me get back. I need to open back up.
How's everything going for you?
Okay.
One step at a time, huh?
Yeah, I got my stuff in. Basically, the U.S. trustee who's supposed to receive it or got it in his mailbox this morning. I forgot to mark the damn right box on the damn express mail envelope, so I got a signature when it was delivered. But let me see. Yeah.
Yeah, he's jumping right into this. He helped me transcribe. I recorded one of our calls, and he's transcribed that so we can evaluate it a little further. And
he's I've got to try and make a little cleaner call because, see, when you look down at Block 7 in the alternative designation, it's got leaseor, leasee, consignee, consignor, seller, buyer, Bailey, Baylor, and licensee, licensor. On that form?
Yeah, on the UCC form.
Yeah.
Financing statement, yeah.
Okay. Basically, leasee, leaseor is like the bank would use that one if they loaned you, supposedly loaned you something. You're really the leaseor. And they're the leasee.
They're leasee.
In the process.
Okay. Right.
Okay. Consignee, consignor. When you open up a checking account or a savings account, you're consigning your stuff over to them. Now they're turning around and they're using our debtor person in the process as in the debtor category, and then they're claiming that they are the secured party. But they come in under this opposite designation, and they file these UCCs into their records. If you read the instructions, it never says that it has to be filed at the state, at the Secretary of State's office.
Okay, and these are instructions where?
Okay, on the back of the UCC form.
Okay.
It reads, send completed form and attachments to the filing office with the required fees. The filing office cannot give legal advice. Well, basically, you never get legal advice from the clerk of the court's office, do you?
No, never.
No. And see, they are basically filing that court case number, and that's basically their UCC number, and then they're filing it in as a Bailey Baylora UCC against your account. And then as the Baylora or the Bailey, I forget which one's which now, they make a payment to the judge, to the prosecuting attorney, to the defense attorney, to the clerk of the court, to the witness, like the deputy or sheriff or whoever, like on traffic tickets.
Yeah. So everybody gets a piece of the action.
Then you've got lease or licensee, licensor. The Department of Transportation would take like your driver's license and they're filing a UCC against you. They're all coming in as basically the beneficial owner in the process as the secured party.
Which is fraud.
But they're putting a claim in using this UCC in their records. Then you go into court and basically you don't know that they've got a claim out there. And if you don't have your non-UCC filed claiming all of those accounts and everything, then you're going up against this banking court, which is basically an adjustment that judges nothing more than a banking adjuster, banking and insurance adjuster. And if you don't have your claim, the other party has a claim. So basically, who's going to win? The one that's got the claim.
Well, yeah, that's the question, because now you've got their fraudulent UCC one financing statement or filing, and then you've got your non-UCC filing.
But see, if you come in as the owner, as the secured party, as the actual owner, and that's what the secured party really is, you're not operating under alternate designation.
Okay.
So the only thing we marked down there at the very bottom is basically non-UCC filing. Or if you have property, you could do an ag link for labor.
Okay. So
okay, see, both of them are going to be for labor.
So in regards to item number 7, that just is left blank?
Yeah, you leave all those other blocks blank.
Okay.
Down at the bottom. You don't check any of those.
And then in number 8, non-UCC filing would be correct, huh?
Well, in number 6B, you could put non-UCC filing. You mark that box. In block 8, that's for optional filer reference data, which basically what I had on that was we can get the other one open. I gotta open it up.
I wanted to ask you about 6A, too, about being a transmitting utility.
Nope. You don't mark anything there either.
Okay.
Now, see, all we're doing is we're going to come in and claim what a 10, 20, 30, 40, I put $47 billion claiming lien over all these accounts that I have. Okay, I want to make it big enough that basically my claim has to get paid first.
Okay.
Yes, that's the game in the claiming game. You make yours so big that basically you've got to be paid first, and basically there's not going to be anything left over for them to claim after you get paid.
All right.
Because you're the true owner.
Yeah.
You just shut the court case down. You won, hands down, when you appear as an international organization.
How do you calculate or determine what that figure should be? I mean, that we can go
you
by.
You just make it so big, make it at least $10 billion out there.
$10 billion with a B.
Yeah, with a B.
Yeah.
And that's when you list all your items. Now, if you're just doing it for like a property, okay, a house or something like that, I would go at least 3 times the value that you purchased that or the present value of the house right now on the market.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Okay, that way you've still got to get paid first. And see, I would... for what David did there, I would take that and, like in a secured party, I would change that to David Robinson dash American Principality international organization.
Okay.
Now, as soon as you get your real birth certificate, your vital entry or your hospital birth certificate recorded into the miscellaneous files, that is your land birthing record. Now you are a man on the land. And then when you take your baptismal certificate, that puts you into admiralty. Now you are a man of the sea. And basically, America, the first four letters in America stand for prince. The first five letters in admiralty stand for prince. So now you're a prince on the land and you're a prince on the sea. Therefore, two together, you are a principality.
Okay.
And see, you're operating in a country, and like in the state of Iowa, there's 99 countries that make up this nation state of Iowa. See, each county is really a country unto itself.
Okay.
Yeah, and the chief law enforcement officer in the county is the sheriff. And then the real court of the county is three commissioners. They should have at least three commissioners or supervisors in the county.
Right.
If they have more, then it's three of those would be the ones to sit in judgment. A tribunal court, and that's the de jure court of the county.
Yeah, I can see the
key. Everybody's been trying to find the damn de jure court, and it's not these bar attorneys. They're right. Just banking adjusters.
Right. Yeah, the key is getting the county commissioners to understand their role and authority in that case, though, because that's an uphill battle.
Yeah. Now, I would not get this filed at the Secretary of State's office. You file it in, and yesterday I just took my copy of my UCC-1 into my county recorder's office. They filed it in the UC-1 financial statement book and basically gave me a book number and a page number for that filing.
Okay.
See, in the living world, we operate strictly by book and page number, because we are only to be recorded into the living book. When you send it to the Secretary of State and get another number on it, you're getting numbered. It basically says in the Bible, you are not to be numbered.
Yeah.
The numbering is only for the debt or the debtors system.
I wanted to ask you about the baptismal certificate. That's only going to help people that have been in the Catholic Church, right? I mean, that's not a common thing.
No, the Baptists, they baptize their people. The Mormons baptize their people. The Lutherans baptize their people.
And they
Jehovah's Witnesses, they baptize their people.
Yeah, okay. But then they issue certificates,
okay.
Huh?
Baptism is one of the oldest items out there.
Yeah.
Even before Jesus, okay? Moses, where did he come out of? He came out of the water in the basket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so most people probably don't have their baptismal certificates, so I guess would there be a copy available in the church?
Well, in some churches, they have that. You can go back to the church. If you don't have that available, go get rebaptized. You can be re-Christian. And see, you're not becoming a Christian, T-I-A-N, when you get baptized. You're being Christian, T-E-N, just like a boat
right. Down
at the dry dock. You're going to have a bottle of champagne broken over your bow, and your name is bestowed upon your vessel, you.
Yeah. Okay.
See, that's what it's all about. And this is out of the Roman law system that you've got to have both. You've got to, You're supposed to be known by two, a man on the land and a man on the sea.
Okay.
That's what being known by two really means.
All right.
So I wouldn't get that and then basically leave that blank, that space on the UCC financing statement. But you don't mark debtor as a transmitting utility. You only mark the non-UCC block down below. And then you put all that information that I have on my example down there in the optional filer reference for like the Baby Act, what the hell do I have on there? Shit. I got a whole bunch of shit. The 14th Amendment, Public Law 79-291.
Yeah.
Title 22 U.S.C. 288A, 15 U.S.C. Section 1 and 2, Title 46 U.S.C., the Expatriation Act, UCC Section 9, the Baby Act, and the Miller Act. All of those are applicable to basically taking out our fictional persons. And we're standing as an international organization for the public law and that 22 USC. We're exempt.
Should
we don't owe taxes.
Should an affidavit of international organization establishment be created prior to doing the UCC? I mean, is that kind of a linchpin?
Well, that's what I put out, okay? I put an affidavit and UCC filing cover sheet out there. I had Tom post that. I'll send it over to you too. I'll return this email to you.
It seems to me that would be kind of like the premise for everything.
Huh?
It seems to me that the international organization and its declaration by affidavit would be the foundation for everything.
Yeah, and see, basically, I first got the UCC recorded. Then I got a certified copy of it. Then I put it behind this cover sheet that I had. You have to write the book and page number on the thing. You get it notarized, and then basically you give it back to the county recorder. I put a global stamp on it, and I posted that stamp by putting a date and my zip code and my signature across the stamp, put my red thumbprint where my signature is after I got it notarized, and then I embossed that, and then gave it back to the county recorder, and then she filed it into the miscellaneous files.
Okay.
And that's so I got a certified copy of that back. That is what I'm sending into the U.S. Trustee, along with my affidavit of being a man on the land or a prince on the land and a prince on the sea document.
Okay. Do I recall correctly that you put the global stamp where the signature normally would be in the cover letter?
I put it off to the side. I left enough space on this affidavit to put it off to the left-hand side.
Of what? The left-hand side?
Of my signature, where my signature goes.
Okay, yeah. Okay. And then your signature is over the stamp, right?
Well, I put one signature over the stamp to make it a postage stamp.
Okay, make it a postal document.
And then because I already had my signature on the signature line so that the notary could witness my signature.
Okay. All right. So you use both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then basically I had a cover letter that I'll send a copy of that too. I'll send you a copy of the documents there for the American Life Estate Deed and sample. boat up. And let's see, my American Admiralty like state speed. Yeah, so I got my two proofs, my prince of the land and prince of the sea document in there also in that package that I sent up to that U.S. trustee. Now, and basically I also, one on the on this affidavit, I addressed the U.S. attorney, the U.S. trustee, and the Secret Service. One other organization I should have put on there that I didn't was the IRS. Because the IRS will be very involved in going after these bar attorneys and these bankers that have not been paying the damn taxes. That have been unjustly benefiting from the fraud that they've been perpetrating on us, but they can't do anything until we address the problem correctly to them.
And you're referring to the taxes that would or should be paid on the gains they make and draw down on from the bonds they create.
Yeah, from this UCCs that they're filing.
Okay.
They're getting payment there on top of what we pay out of our back pocket.
I found a while back, I found a very good detailed analysis of how these bonds are created and where they're traded and who, which departments deal with them. It just laid everything out wide open. And dang it, I've been looking for it and I can't find it now.
Huh.
Do you have anything like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, it's all got to be done by a UCC, especially when you come into court. You've got to have a claim to go into a banking court. All the charges, the claiming charges. And see, that's what nobody gets done when they go into court. They do not, you go in as the defendant. The prosecuting attorney has to give you copies of all those claiming instruments that are in that court charge.
Okay.
Including the court, the bailment that basically you put up when they established that court case.
All right, so the average person, myself included, wouldn't know really what to ask for. So where do we start with that?
Yeah, I mean, you just
to know,
gotta
to
ask,
know.
I want all of the, let's see, how's it put? Watch the movie, My Cousin Vinny, okay? And basically the girl tells him, basically they have to give you full disclosure of all the charging instruments. Full disclosure.
Uh-huh.
In that court action. And then, but you're going to come in with your superior lien as soon as you get this. Hey, you can't charge that account. Because I have a higher lien. I get paid first. So all the charges that you're trying to put in there, I get. Just like the IRS. I got a letter from them today, or yesterday, or whatever, for I owe them $5,000, or $5,000 or some dollars. Well, basically, now that I've got this non-UCC filed, I'm going to write back to them and say, hey, here's the deal. I've got the higher lien over you. I owe you nothing. You owe me this $5,000 now.
Yeah. Turn it around.
Yeah, I'm going to send that into the U.S. trustee and say, here, make this payment out to me. I'm claiming this. Here's, you've got my claim on file now. I'm claiming this amount. Because we owe no tax. We are the secured party.
Yeah.
Therefore, all assets have to come back to the source, us.
Yeah.
Like in the movie Matrix. Neil had to go to the source.
Yep.
And he found out he was the source.
Full circle, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then see, when we buy anything, we fill out that 1047 form, which that form hasn't changed since 1973. Our address on that form is in an oblong circle. It's not in a box. If it was in a box, it would be a dead man's address, a creditor or a debtor's address. But since it's in an oblong circle, that is the circle of life. Little things that people don't see, they're right there in front of them.
Yeah, everything is done for a reason and has a meaning, huh?
Yeah. And so, and this whole Bible and everything else out here has always been about banking. Barter and banking.
Interesting.
We in the living world really are supposed to be operating with barter exchangements. And that we have credits that we can draw upon from the treasury. So we're drawing credits out and putting the silver and gold into circulation in the system.
Let me ask you.
That's one of the other things in that 47 billion or whatever I put down.
Uh-huh.
That always has to be converted down to silver.
All right.
Okay, we're not going to get $47 billion in silver.
No.
You divide that by roughly 17, and maybe it's going to be about $3 billion in my case. I don't know. Because of all the shit I've done working across the country, been in the military and everything else.
Getting back to documentation, let me ask just a couple quick questions. You make reference quite often to the certificate of live birth in distinction from the birth certificate.
Right.
So explain which is which. A certificate of live birth is signed by the doctor?
Basically, the informant on most of those certificates of live birth was your mother.
Okay.
Right?
Right.
Okay. That is a usage document that basically gave over the child, created a second child to for the benefit of the bankrupt United States. For 21 years was all they were supposed to have access to that. The child was working that whole 21 years. So there should have been an additional accruement of labor for the child under that certificate of live birth. Okay?
But who issues it? That's what I'm getting at. Where does that come from, the certificate of live birth? Is that at the hospital, the hospital version?
The hospital basically will initiate that in most cases, okay, because the doctor will be one of the people signing it. And then it'll go to the clerk of the court to be put into the system. At least that's the way mine was. Now, I think they go right to, from the recorder, right on up to the registrar for the state or to the Bureau of Vital Statistics. But the one that I'm referring to is basically, because some people have seen this, they were really born on one day, but the certificate of live birth has them being born on a different day, one day later. Okay? Because that's when the doctor filled out the form.
Yeah.
Okay? But the real birthing was done, and see, that's where, when you put an entry into the Bible, that becomes gospel. That family entry. When you put it into the Bible, that becomes a gospel in that Bible.
Yeah, well, that's not the truth.
The other one is basically like I got a hospital birth certificate with my feet on it and my mother's right and left index fingers on it. And that is under gold seal. Okay? So that is really what everybody should have gotten, because they had to take the baby's footprints so that basically when the mother left the hospital or whatever, they could match the baby up with the mother. That's why she put her fingerprints and you put the baby's footprints on that document.
All right. So.
But see, now they've screwed that up and basically, they sent people home with the wrong baby.
So when it goes from the hospital to the state, it's the certificate of live birth. Then when it gets recorded and comes out of the state, then you've got the birth certificate. Is that what you're saying?
No. The real birth certificate never gets recorded. You get it. You record it into the Bible, or you get that hospital birth certificate. That don't go nowhere right now. The other one is a fraud, is creating a second. It's a construction contract. They're constructing a fictional baby.
Okay, so the certificate of live birth is the one that the hospital gives you and you take home.
No, the certificate of live birth is what goes up and creates the fictional child, a ward of the state.
Yeah, all right.
That the state can use that asset, your part of your inheritance, as collateral for them to operate by. Because they're bankrupt. They need our assets on file.
So then the birth certificate is the original.
The birth certificate, yes, that hospital birth certificate.
Right.
Or your Bible entry the original.
That's what I'm trying to get at. You know, the birth certificate versus the certificate of live birth. Who issues which and which one is, you know, does your...
The hospital will issue both of them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
But one's creating a fiction, the other is for the living.
Okay.
And see, in most cases, they don't give you that gold seal hospital birth certificate anymore. They've done away with that.
Yeah.
In some cases.
Yeah.
In some states.
Probably in most.
Yeah, so the only thing you can do is go back and try and get a Bible that has the family section in it, and normally it's in between the New Testament and the Old Testament, and put your entries in there, your birth weight and everything else that you might have, know about. Might have a baby announcement card or something like that that has your birth weight and everything else. I've got those also.
Yeah.
My mom kept a bunch of extra.
Well, that isn't done so much anymore, so I can imagine most people probably won't have access to that.
Yeah. Yeah, people did things a little different about 67 years ago.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So, okay. Well, good. That clarifies a few points for us, and we'll take that, stir the pot, and see what we come up with next.
Okay, yeah. But, take a look at these documents, and... Then I'd make those corrections, but you just take that UCC-1 and you mark it up, and if you don't take it to the state, you don't get a number off. We don't want any numbers in our living world.
Okay.
And that's why, basically on my UCC example there, I listed all my numbers, my driver's license, my certificate of live birth registration, my Social Security, my DD-214, my Medicare, my VA card, my all of my EINs that I got. Because each time we did one of those EINs, now I found out, we basically allowed them to write a performance and payment bond for that employee under that EIN for about $11.2 million.
Yeah, wow, adds up.
Yeah.
Let me ask you about semantics and some of the verbiage that you've used. I know you used the children's and so forth. And I understand what you're saying there. But we're also talking about derivatives. These are all really derivative accounts. Would it be just as appropriate to use the word derivative as it would be to children?
Yes, he's very derivative of you.
Yeah.
Okay? The child is a derivative of you, and they stole your identity. Okay? That's when they write these UCCs, these banks, and everybody else, with their liens, the courts, they are committing identity theft.
Right, right. I understand that. So I'm just thinking in terms of, using this semantics in a way that, people would understand real clearly. You know, if you say children, you're thinking of, small people.
See, that's the Baby Act. See, every time when you go out and get a driver's license, how old is that child on the driver's license? You just created a child labor contract.
Uh-huh.
That child is only, you just born, you gave him birth when you allowed your signature to that card, creating that child.
Yeah.
So now he's under a child labor contract. And see, that's against the law out here, is basically these child laborers, especially after we turn 21. See, even you, if you grew up on a farm, or basically even around the house, okay, and basically your parents own the house their whole life, and then they die, and you're going to sell the house, okay, what happens? All along comes the damn attorney, well, you've got to pay this much in inheritance tax. Oh, no, you don't. You turn around. And since you basically spent your first 21 years in that house, you mowed the yard, you vacuumed in the house, you did labor, you cleaned the gutters, you did a lot of labor. Okay?
Right.
So you put a labor lien against that property.
I see.
Labor is not to be taxed. So basically, you make your labor out big enough, and basically, there is no inheritance there because it's all being paid up out of the sale of a house in labor to you.
I see, yeah.
Yeah, see, that's where everybody's been, and we've been handing money over to the government and to these bankers freely for years, not knowing the real law.
Yeah, understand what you're saying.
Yeah, and see, also, statutory law and codes of law cannot apply to the living. They can only apply to the dead or corporations, and all corporations are dead.
Yeah.
The only laws in this country that apply to the people are basically the Constitution, to where they address the people in the Constitution, or the amendments to the Constitution. Up to the 16th Amendment, and then basically the 16th on are all fraudulent amendments.
Mm-hmm.
They were never properly ratified by the United States of America, the your government.
Okay.
They were ratified by the bankrupt system.
Okay, well.
See,
all
representatives and all Congress senators, they are in office. If they're in there right now in a second term, they're in office in violation of the Constitution. Because it clearly states in the United States Constitution that basically you cannot be an inhabitant of the office and run for the office. You can't be an inhabitant of a government office and run for that office. You have to sit out one term, then you can run again.
And that's according to what?
Davy Crockett, Grover Cleveland, there are several out there that prove that fact.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll get into these things as we go along here, but I think you clarified my immediate questions, so I appreciate that.
Okay.
Anything else earth-shattering that you'd want to share?
No, I think that about covers everything.
Okay, you're just kind of moving your own process along, and so I wish you the best on that. And
okay.
Hopefully,
hopefully this gets going, and basically let's see. You get this UCC in, and you claim all of your children back. Now you have your superior claim over your children, and they can't charge your children because you've got to get paid first.
Yeah, well, sounds good to me.
Okay.
Good. Thanks, Patrick. We'll be in touch. Bye-bye.